What is real? What can be made real? It's all on the other side of the story. Embark on an epic journey with Dreamland's World Walkers. Immerse yourself in a world where reality and fantasy intertwine. Follow the legendary dragon warrior Tiktokta as he carves his way through conquest and deceit. Crafted by Stelios Pliachikas and Thanos Kyragis, this 96-page action-packed dark fantasy graphic novel is the third part of the Dreamland saga. Perfect for fans of God of War, Berserk, and The Sandman, Dreamland's World Walkers is here to take you away. Support Dreamlands on Kickstarter until April 7th.
Okay.
Almost there. Boom. All right, hold on a second here. There we go. Hit the button I needed to hit there. Welcome, everyone, to episode 1049 of Just Joshing. I am your host, Joshua Penteleresco. And if you know, remember this lady, she was a part of the big anthology chat. But apparently, either I made a good impression, or at least I made some kind of impression, because she agreed to come back for more here. So this is Lorraine J. Anderson. So thank you. How are you doing?
I am doing fairly well. I'm still a little bit tired from work, but
know the feeling. I used to do what you did. I worked at Pure Later Courier. I was in a warehouse, so I was handling all the freight. Right? I was. Yeah, I had muscles on my muscles. Like I could flex and do this stuff and have a wonderful time. And I just hit a point in my life. I look at it like this. I hit the age of 42. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can turn this into a full fledged career, like, you know, and I want to go mm-hmm. for it. And if I fail right now, this is the way I look at it. I can still pivot into something else, but I'm not planning on failing. I'm planning on succeeding, and I'm going to take over the world and do all these other weird and wacky, crazy things. So, but I figure if you don't take those chances in life now, you never will.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah. I just never had the opportunity to do it, really.
You had you had kids, like family kind of thing? Was that kind of like
the... basically family. It was about when I was about 40. Well, when I was 38, my father passed away and I had moved home. And my mom was in a wheelchair. And when I was 40, my mom had a stroke and then had to go to a nursing home. And by the time there's three of us girls and one of us went once a day. So by the time you get through there, it's like, okay, don't feel like I'm doing anything after being at work and being with mother.
That's fair. Here's the only thing about me. This is the only thing I tell everybody. At the end of the day, right? Even though, mm-hmm. right, we do what we want to do. Like whether we, no matter how much, how or how little time we have, I truly believe like we do what we want to do. If we're honest enough about it, like, look, it sounds to me like you were very okay with assuming the responsibilities you did.
Yeah.
Right.
And I did some writing later. Later on. So.
And Miss Lorraine, there's nothing wrong with that. Like we all have, like we all make our choices in our life. Like that's just the way it is.
And we all make life choices. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like thing is, right, we all have this ability. Like we all get like whatever hands we're thrown, we're dealt. Like that part's not fair. What we do with it, it's up to us. And as long as you just like, okay, this is the decision that's best for me. Really, that's all anybody can say, really, one way or the other. There's no this idea that there's a right way or a wrong way necessarily of doing things. No, it's just you have a decision on how you choose to do things.
There are a couple people that can write to all hours of the night that I know of. Deborah's one of them, I believe, because it seems like every time I'm I wake up in the middle of the night, she's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, so
that could just be a Facebook addiction, not a writing problem. I'm teasing probably. I'm teasing a little bit.
No, she's on. Believe me, she's on.
No. I'm not. I was being facetious there. It's just like, yeah, right. But it's one of those things. Like, no, I mean, it's kind of like the point I'm getting across, right? Like, we all have to make the choices of what's what and what are we going to choose to do, and those things. And that's it. And that's what dictates our lives. So whatever, like, it's, if you take ownership of what you do and whatever happens, happens, I find it makes whatever comes your way easier to manage. Not because it's not easy per se, but because, like, I made this choice, I'll live with it. You know what I mean? And that's not a, that's not a bad way to be, I don't think.
I only have a couple of regrets, or maybe three regrets in life, and there's not much I can do about at least two of them. So,
see, me and you have a similar philosophy. See, this is mine. Yeah. 1 million mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
A handful. I'm trying to keep my regrets to less than 10 in my life. That's my goal, right? If I were to go back, I would say I'd have three maybe regrets at this point in my life. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm hoping to keep it around that number all the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Three or four, you know, and then 2020 hindsight, it's always.
Yeah.
That's the way you go, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, one of my regrets was in high school. I had this girl I had this huge crush on, and I never asked her out. But I learned a valuable lesson with that. So that regret shaped the rest of my life. And, like, without that regret, I don't know if I would be so keen to avoid regrets with everything else. But I still think of her to this day. And that's something that I realize that, yeah, it's a regret. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a regret
and a mistake. There was a guy I had a crush on in high school. But after high school, I never saw him again. But, you know, he was a heck of a nice guy in high school.
Yeah, and you were just like, maybe I should have. And
I think at the point he pushed me away. Because this was in the mid-1970s, and it was a young black man.
Okay.
So I think that was more his choice to push me away. It would have been a lot harder back then.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It was a different
world. Yeah.
It was
a different world.
Very different world. Like, very, very different world. My dad's from, him and my uncle grew up in, like, the ghettos of Detroit. So they were white kids in predominantly a black neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So I have stories about how they were raised and how things went back then. I can't say some of the things that were said back then today because it was a different world and a different time and people and a very different way of looking at things than exists today.
Oh yeah. I remember my grandfather came down for lunch and something he said, it's like, okay, I can't say anything, but I disagree with you.
The thing is, it's okay to disagree, right? But again, it's a matter of understanding the time it came from, right? I'm not saying
that's what I did. Yeah, exactly. Because he was born in 1899.
Yeah, so it's kind of that's a very.
Very different.
1899 and now, I mean, could they? I don't think anyone could imagine today from
them. Oh, like, no.
It is such a different place.
No, exactly.
Yeah, some ways it's better. I think part of them, actually, I'll be honest, for the most part, I think it's better. Some ways, I wonder, but for the most part, I think it's better.
Yeah.
So, but pleasant philosophy so far. So okay, so
let's talk about something funner, but much more fun.
No. We're breaking the this is breaking the ice stuff, right? So
okay,
yeah, right. I don't control where the chats go. I just kind of listen to it and I can feel it. It's just like cautiously optimistic. I think is so far as what the chat is going. Where are you? Okay, so you got to tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Whereabouts are you?
Well, I actually moved back in the family home. I'm in Michigan.
Whereabouts?
South of Kalamazoo, Three Rivers.
Oh, I know of the area. I've not been through it, but I know of the area. I've been to Kalamazoo long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you're in that Midwestern. You're definitely into like Midwestern United States where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So how long have you been back there?
Well, I could say I moved back in the family home. So I moved out for about 8 years, 10 years to Kalamazoo. And then I moved back because there's no chance for seeing it, but because she passed away. But I had a roommate who was not paying her rent. Mm. And my job wasn't that good. I couldn't afford to, to pay for her and me at the same time. So I said, okay, I have this job in Three Rivers and I don't want to make the drive in the winter. Because I wanted to remain friends with her.
Yeah. No, it happens. I mean, it sucks, but it happens. Like, I've been the guy mm-hmm. that's paid the rent. I've also been the guy that, you know, needs help with the rent. I've been on both ends of that.
Oh, space, yeah.
Right? So sometimes the way life works out is just whatever, for whatever reason. Was she trying? Like, was she doing her best? Or...
Not precisely.
Okay.
No. Okay. That's somebody I want to remain friends with, but
okay. Yeah. No, fair. Yeah. That's different. Sometimes I mean there are points in life where we all struggle. Like that's kind of like
Oh yeah.
Right. So I mean you might not be able to keep it up forever then either, but I mean that it's one thing when the effort's there, it's another thing when it's not. When it's not, you gotta walk away.
Yeah, like I was paying 300 and some for rent, you know, this is back in the 70s or mid 80s. And she would pay about 40 or 50 bucks. It's like, yeah, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore.
No,
and I was paying, you know, I was selling plasma. I was doing the, I was trying not to let my parents know what was going on too. So.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're just someone that's had a lot of responsibilities in her life. That's what it sounds like anyway.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of?
Some ways I have, and some ways I haven't, so.
Oh, it's all good. But it sounds like you're just a very hard worker. Like, you've been a hard working woman your whole life.
I've tried. Sometimes.
It's all good.
You know.
It's all good. Yeah. So.
Well, somebody said, you're doing what tonight? Says, don't you ever stop?
No,
you do nothing for a while?
You can sleep when you're dead. You can sleep when you're dead. That's
yeah,
that's about it. You can sleep when you're dead. You got things to, you got too much shit to do. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. Okay. So. Have you always wanted to write the stuff, or was this something that came later?
Kind of started, I think, pretty much after I started reading, which is about, I think I wrote something when I was about 8. You know, this little tiny chapbook thing, which I could probably find someplace, but, you know, it had a beginning, it had the ending, but I really didn't get terribly serious about it until junior high, and I had this teacher said, boy, you write kind of well. So
and your junior high teacher kind of encouraged you to keep going with it?
Yeah, she encouraged me to keep going with it. And then when I was in high school, I helped restart the school newspaper, and I started writing some fiction then, which is best buried, but you know.
Hey, listen, give props. High school Lorraine probably was a badass, probably. Because, hey, it takes guts to put your story out there, right? I still got stuff from high school. It kind of makes me cringe to read it. But every once in a while, I will read a piece of it, and it's just like, you know what? It's good.
Well, I was voted most shy in high school, one of the most shy.
I can see that.
And I don't think I was necessarily shy, but as you can tell, I kind of have a little problem not enunciating, but getting the words out. And, you know, in high school, they're brutal about that. Or in junior high.
I think it's you're naturally introverted, right?
So Yeah.
naturally introverted, you know, and the thing is, when you're naturally introverted, it's sometimes, so it can be a number of different reasons why. It could be like, you know, it could be just about something as, hey, it's not your first language. I should ask this before we continue. Yeah. Did you do like any like else, like music, drawing, like anything performative at all?
In high school?
Yeah.
Did a couple things in Girl Scouts. I was in choir, junior.
Yeah.
I did try, you know, I did a solo.
So
in high school.
But did you enjoy performing, like when you were doing it?
Not until later. I mean, I didn't not enjoy it. I was scared stiff.
Well, you're always scared.
Yeah.
No matter how old you get, yeah, you're always a little scared.
I've enjoyed it more later.
Yeah.
But, okay. You know, as I've gotten older.
You got more comfortable in your skin. Gotcha.
But, you know, when you push your mom around in the wheelchair and everybody talks to you and doesn't talk to her, even though she's fully capable, you start to, okay, I gotta force some things.
So what it is, so Miss Lorraine, and what it probably is you're somebody that very much exists inside her head. And there's, mm-hmm. That's cool, because you probably got, based on just the little of this conversation we've had so far, you probably have an incredible imagination. But that's where you're at all the time. So when someone's talking to you, you got to get yourself, you extricate yourself from this world you have in your head, mm-hmm. and bring it, come out, say, oh shit, this is the real world. And I have to actually interact with these guys. Fuck. Okay. So, and then there's that process of doing it, but it's not your first go-to, you know what I mean? It's not like, right. And I don't know if that's shy exactly. It's just, I've interviewed a lot of creative people, and the thing is, I'm an introvert too, but the thing is, I've done this so much, I'm a practice extrovert.
I really do get that.
Yeah, I'm a practice extrovert is what I am. And the thing is, because again, I see a lot what's in my head, but I've developed my incredible big mouth skills. And because I have like that ability to just chat with anybody, I can come across and be very like, I can be very straight to the point. But like I said, even with me, there are points I need to be kind of my own space, my own head, and kind of just let things go. That's totally a fine thing for me. It's just, I can go both ways. And because I can go both ways, it's useful. But I developed that skill. A lot of creatives don't have, right? You seem to be you just seem like someone just based, again, I've only talked to you. I've talked to you for approximately 30 minutes, we'll just say, because of that whole panel. And I was talking to all of
you
once.
Yeah.
Let's say I talked to you for 30 minutes. In that 30 minutes, right? I mean, there's definitely a lot going on up there, right? I can definitely see the wheels and gears turning. Mm-hmm. But for you, it's just like, so I'm sure you have a ton of thoughts, but my thing is, you're probably used to the fact that, you know, I can just keep it all in here and I will just go about the business of doing whatever it is I'm doing.
And my jobs that I work at, I mean, that basically I don't have to talk to people unless I have to. Because I'm bookkeeper in both jobs. So I don't really have to talk to many people. So, but I'm trying to get myself going in, you know, but like this tonight.
Ah, so is that why you came on the show? Because
not precisely, but no, I like you, but
I like you too. I like you too. It's part of it, right? But
yeah, I like it. I mean, but no, I've done a couple of talks about books, and it's like, okay, I could stay at home and not do it, but I am not going to stay at home and do nothing all my life.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
But I mean, book, like strictly on a business level, it's also bad business for your books.
Because exactly.
It's terribly bad business for your books, because if you're not excited, if you're not talking about them, why should anybody else? Like, why should anybody else? Like, no one's going to believe you because you're not doing it.
Yeah, I still haven't found the balance between talking about my books and being a bore about it, you know.
Oh, it just be passionate. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Look, we all obsess over stuff. It's our best and our worst quality. It can be both. It's both. It's our best quality because, okay, man, look, there is someone in the world that is excited over potatoes. There's somebody else in the world that's excited over stars. There's somebody else in the world that's excited over something in this world. All right. And it's amazing because you get to see these people come to life, and it's a wonderful thing. It really, really is. Like it is one of the greatest, I think, gifts in the world, is that we are allowed to come on this planet and obsess over stuff. It can be as frivolous as it can be something like topical, serious, like maybe the nature of how the universe works, the Big Bang theory, whether it's if you're theological, whether about does God care, right? Like, well, it could be something like that big, or it can be something as, oh my God, I'm a Swiftie, right? And it's the same obsession. And I think that's it's an amazing, that's the best way that's expressed. Like, I don't know about you. Have you ever gone to a convention? I love cosplay because you get to see people be fans of things, and it's a wonderful. Oh,
yeah. I like watching people. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Right. Someone went, let's think about that. Someone went through all the travel to either pay for, or even some make from scratch, these amazing costumes.
Oh yeah. It's just,
it's cool. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites when I did the Calgary show, my first Calgary show, I still remember this. It was Kiss Demon and Baby Yoshi, his daughter. It was awesome. it was amazing. And I loved it, right? That's the best. Now, again, there's the dark side to it, is we all can get trapped in our own ideas too, right? That's the dark side to it.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. We can get trapped in it. That's sometimes, it could be anything from fanboy obsession to how marketing campaigns work. That's that spectrum is the same. So people, that's the downside. But that passion's amazing. I would just going to like you're like worrying about I, you know what? Just better to be too passionate than not passionate enough. Get people to tell you to shut up. I don't know if anyone would actually tell you to shut up, because you look like the kind of woman that would be like beat people down. But
no.
Get
people say I'm too nice.
Yeah. That's okay, right? So what I'm saying is, right, get, like, if you're worried about that, like, honestly, be passionate. Like, go. I would rather see someone go all in on their passion than someone that doesn't say a word or do anything. You know what I mean? I mean, one is more honest than the other.
Well, right? I think I've gotten a little bit of a balance on Facebook. Now, I haven't promoted the books lately, but I have promoted the anthology.
Yeah.
But then again, I can't really talk about work on Facebook, because one of my workplaces is an accounting firm. And you just cannot talk about clients. It's like medical things and HIPAA laws.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I have a.
So I've gotten that balance.
No. So I have a buddy. He's a cop. So he deals with some incredibly stupid people. So what he does is he takes away all the names, takes away all the names.
Takes
away all the names. He takes away all the real, like, you get the idea of the circumstances, but you don't get the full specifics. And then he just tells
stories. I get it.
Yeah, right. And he just tells, then you just tell, like, specifically, look, you're an accountant. Accountants play with numbers. Like for you, if it was mm-hmm. me, I'd be taking numbers and I'd be fusing it with some form of Play-Doh, because essentially your job is I'm taking this big giant bit of Play-Doh and I'm cookie cuttering it to as many small pieces as I possibly can. Right. Right. So, right. And I need,
let me tell you something. I sort of fell into accounting.
Okay.
Because I had 3 accounting classes.
Okay.
When I went to work, for a lumberyard, and the owner knew me, and they needed somebody who wouldn't talk about the lumberyard. So I basically got trained there. Accounting was not my, was my last choice to go in a field to go into. And my dad knew that. My dad wanted me to go into accounting. But he recommended me for this job, so I've stayed with it. I've been in this one job for 36 years.
So you got it down.
I got it. And then I went to work for a CPA and learned even more, so, in the afternoons.
Yeah, so you've been playing with numbers. But like I said, there's an honesty in playing with numbers, right? So it's just figuring out ways to make it fun. Like, you can't talk about the specifics of your company's like finances, because you get in trouble. But you could talk about, but at the same time, you can come up with a story. It's like, okay, why am I seeing this number for bikini wax? Why is that even, like you can put something like that absurd in there. You don't even, again, you're not saying naming names or doing anything like this. It's like, do I even want to ask my boss about this? Like, hey, why is there, and I'm not saying there is, but you know what I mean? Like you do see strange stuff sometimes with the numbers, and you're like, why did it work out like this? And then you go back and recalculate. It's like, did I screw up? Comes back to that number. It's like, no, I didn't screw up. I wasn't the one that screwed it up. And it's just like, okay, shrug.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like, shrug.
Well, I can talk a little bit more about the lumberyard than I can about the accounting firm. So,
right. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Because the lumberyard probably doesn't care. Look, I have some ideas. Not as much. I've done a little work in the lumber yards. It's messier than people realize in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot messier. It's honest work. I mean, it's not terrible, terrible, terrible work. It's honest. And you know, that is all. I mean, and there's something rewarding about that. But at the same time, it's just like, I remember a couple times I worked, I'd come home and be like, my clothes, I had wood in places I did not know. It's like, how did you get there?
How did you get that? Fortunately, I don't go out in the yard that much. So,
well, in your case, it'd be even worse. Like, I was just out there. What the hell?
Right.
I was in it all day. So I got how it could.
Yeah.
But it'd be
it's cut up stuff or load stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just like, I'm just saying it like that just because I like people just like knowing and seeing it, right? We have a tendency like when we look at, like, I don't knock those kind of jobs at all, because I think they're very they're very good work, they're very good jobs. I think the thing is, again, I'm at a point in my life where I want to try something different, but I mean, if things don't work out, like, don't magically work out, you know, I can always try to put myself back into some one of these kind of positions. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the point in my life now where if I'm physically working for somebody, I'd rather use my head. And that's just where I'm at in my life.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no. So, I, yeah. I have a friend who is an artist who actually she said she did it backwards. She started out freelancing and now she's got a regular job.
It's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. Like freelancing is okay. So this year so far, I've had a lot, like right at the end of last year, I lost 10K because a contract fell through. Oh yeah. But it's part of the game. Like I'm not saying this in like an angry way. Just it's part of the game, right? But it was a huge difference from that, and then from there, I ended up getting a, the novel like we talked about off the air a little bit. It's being looked at by an agent right now. So oh, cool. I mean, it's ups, there's downs, and there's lots of things in the middle. It's tough. Everything's very tough.
You're at a good age to start that too, because I got to the point where I thought, okay, I'm not even going to try to get an agent. That's 3 or 4 years out, and I'm just going to forget it. I'm just going to self-publish.
Well, I mean, it goes both ways. Like I don't like it fell in my lap. Like I think like as an author.
Oh yeah. Okay.
As an author, you need both. Like I look at it this way. It came my way. I have nothing to lose. We get along very well as
people. Oh yeah, cool. Right?
The agent and I, we've met and we've chatted, and like we get along as people, which is good. Like there's a relationship that can be worked at that, which is very good. Important.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, if I was in the right place at the right time. If I wasn't in the right place at the right time, I'd probably be kickstarting this.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I was never quite at the right place at the right time. So.
And that's the way it works out. There's nothing wrong. Like timing's everything. I mean, there's a little bit of timing with that, but also at the same time, look, it's still very possible, Lorraine, that your books kick all kinds of ass and you develop a fan following, and so all of a sudden it's like, hey, when is the next book?
I have at least one fan.
in
town.
But you might get more as time goes on, right? Depending on how this plays out. And if you get enough of a following, they might come to you. It happens, right?
It'd be nice. Yeah, it would be nice. I've had people read my book, the 2x4 book, and they said, oh, that's good, actually. And it's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Like
help
like
me promote it.
It's about, I mentioned this at the beginning, it's about what you want. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not about the publishing field, like as an author, like, okay, so again, strictly on a business level, I need books that are indie. I need books that are traditional too. I am in that age where I can do both. So I should do both. But I'd be a fool if I put all my eggs in one basket or the other basket, right? If I can do it in a variety of different ways, why shouldn't I?
Yeah. I mean, I've written fantasy and I wanted to write that street murder and I did.
Damn right.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, you can write whatever you, like, that's the thing too. As an indie, you have the ability to try different things, right? You just do.
Well, and, the one that, yeah.
Right?
The one that my beta readers, I think somebody's reading it. Well, one guy backed me and said it was all right, but it's a fantasy murder mystery. But it's based in current time. It was basically a paranormal murder mystery type thing. Maybe not all murder, but mystery. Okay. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. You have the option to like be whoever you want to be as an independent. And that's honestly the big beauty of being an indie.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge of being an indie is you realize that you also have to be your biggest cheerleader.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, and it sounds to me like I get the feeling if I read a book of yours, I think I'd really like it. The challenge is probably for you for the last little bit is like, okay, I have to scream from the mountaintops that I am awesome. How do I do this without sounding like a fraud?
Yeah. I think every author has, okay, I'm a fraud, you know. Even though it's the most successful ones, you know.
Oh yeah. Because we have so little control what happens once it's out there.
Yeah.
I'll tell I'll tell you a fun story. All right. I got traditionally published in 2014 by accident. Do you want to hear how?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I put a book out there. I did epic poetry. I wrote a epic poetry book called The Watcher. You can go on Amazon when this or their, mm-hmm. my publisher's website and find it. But what ended up happening was I accidentally started writing this longer poem about a sleigh boy in this tower of dragons. And I wrote the first chapter, what was the first chapter, and I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, what happens next? And I wrote chapter two where he killed his dragon master. It's like, okay, I can't end it here. And I kept going. Right. For chapter three is his first night alone in the world and kind of also dealing with the fact that he killed something or someone. Right. And that's a big thing. And then chapter four, he's out into this new world, this new wacky, wonderful little world. And suddenly I have this story that just kind of takes off on its own. I go to a comic shop here. I'm a big comic book junkie myself. Mm-hmm. I find this artist I used to work at a local Kinko's here. She's doing stuff for comics and I get her to illustrate a few things for me. So I publish the book on Smashwords, and then suddenly someone goes to me and is like, hey, I really like this. What are you going to do with it? And basically that whole Smashwords plan and, you know, print on demand to sell. Yeah. That was master plan. That was my entire master plan.
Yeah. Okay. Of course,
Smashwords, yeah. And I told her what that master plan was. So she goes, well, I just did an order with Ingram Spark. I'll publish your book.
And you're going,
yeah,
pretty okay. Much.
Yeah. It's like, yes. The moral of the story though is this. I didn't do anything different than what you're doing. That doesn't make me like, it doesn't make like, the thing is when you realize, like, I think what happens with imposter syndrome is you realize mm-hmm. how little control you have.
Oh, yeah.
And you realize it as you do it. Right. And what happens is you're like, okay, how did I end up here? And then on top of that, you're like, oh shit. Okay. I could lose this in a heartbeat. And that's when all the panic comes in. Right. So, I decided, so like you have to learn how to kind of cope with the fact that, okay, it really doesn't matter how you got here. The important thing is you're here. What do you need to do to stay there? Right. That's a very different. So you eliminate the feeling of fraud. It's like, look, I've come to terms with it. If I get to where I want to go, I had a little bit of luck and timing on my side. Okay. I can live with that.
It happens.
And you know what? If someone goes to me, you're lucky. You know what my response will be? Sure was. But I was smart enough to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. It doesn't come to, like, good. Being good is nice. Putting yourself out there is far more important than people realize, just for that reason. Mm-hmm. Because if you're putting yourself out there, you're giving people an opportunity to see you.
True.
Right. And that's the real challenge, because there's only one Lorraine J. Anderson. There's only one of you. There's only one person that tells a story the way you tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's special. Like, honestly, like, that's special. And so instead of looking at it from the point of view of, okay, I'm lucky. No, I made this. I worked so hard to get to this, and I should be proud of that. As you should be.
Yeah. I should tell you a couple stories. So
sure.
One story, now I don't remember exactly when I put it on Amazon. I wrote some stories, put them on Amazon. It didn't do much. This one story, I finally made it go free. You know, so zero to download. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how I did that, but I don't know how many stories, thousands the first day, thousands of downloads the first day it went free, and I still cannot figure that out. I mean, it's still selling, you know, I don't get any money out of it, but it's still selling.
It's still making it starts.
It's just, huh? There was something in it.
Yeah.
Something in it, some flight, and of course I got reviews all over the chart, but you know, when one person says, well, this is a horrible romance, and I'm going, I didn't write a romance. What are you talking about?
Here's how I look at bad reviews. So I draw too, right? I draw.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
And I don't pretend I'm good at drawing, and I'm not trying to like belittle myself when I say that. It's not why I draw, generally speaking. I'm drawing because it's fun, not because I do want to get better at it. I'd be lying if I said the otherwise.
Yeah,
it's not my go-to, if that makes sense, right? It's just this is the one where I have the most fun, and I don't really rush my growth, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like my singing. I enjoy it. I don't particularly like listening to myself, but I enjoy it, and people seem to like to listen to me.
Yeah. So exactly. And I understand that too. I've done over 1,000 of these. I still always sounds a little weird when I hear my voice for the first couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It goes away faster than it used to, but I still have those like moments of, oh my God, that's me. Yeah, right. I had that moment, right? So the thing is, right, I going back to what I was saying, right? I put up a drawing and I had a response from somebody. It's like, how long have you been drawing? I said, well, for 3 years. And they go to me, and I literally got this response of like, get the how to draw book and blah, blah, blah. Really, really brutal. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to be brutal for like whatever reason. And hilariously, within the hour of getting that, I got my first ever commission. Again, that, but that's how it works, right? So what I realize is good reviews, bad reviews. Like what I realize is, you're good. I'm actually a little worried if I don't get bad reviews, because I'm me. I'm going to piss somebody off. That's just the nature of the world. I'm going to piss people off sometimes. Like I said, before we went on the air, I have my own opinions. Some of them, you know, people are going to completely agree with me. Some of them, people are going to be like, "You're on drugs, and I don't want them." That's fine. I get that too. But that's because I'm a human being. There's going to be parts that about me that are going to resonate really strongly in the positive, and there's going to be parts about me that are going to resonate strongly in the negative. But I want that. I don't want, like. I think the worst thing I would have is like nothing.
Well, yeah. I had a thought and it just went away. So sorry.
No, it's all good. If it comes back, just say, Josh, shut up. I have my thought, and then we'll say your thing. I just like you had something with that book that resonated positively and negatively with people, and that's a good thing. I look at it like this. If I get a 1-star review, thank you. You've added to the algorithm. If I get a 5-star review, thank you. You've added to the algorithm.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want. I mean, let's be honest. My ego wants all good reviews. Right? But that's not real. What's real is I'm going to make some people happy.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some people mad. But hopefully in the process, I've impacted people. And that's what I care about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of hoping with my new book too, you know?
Yeah. Well, we'll get into your new book in just a second. I actually wanted to ask you this. What was your favorite stuff to read as a kid?
Oh... Well, before I was 12 or after?
Both. I don't care. It's an open-ended question.
I read before. I read the Little House books. I read a lot of books that I can't get through anymore. I read Gulliver's Travels. I can't get through that anymore. What else did I read? Well, you know, kids' books, Bobbsey Twins and all that stuff. After I went to the library, she introduced me to Heinlein, Robert E. Heinlein. And then I never went back for a while.
So I'm really torn with Heinlein. I'm torn. So the magic book for me is Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because exactly. anything pre that, I think is fantastic. Now, again, is it formulaic? Sure. But he wrote so many amazing stories before then. After that,
well, there's one I really like to reread, but you get to the end and it's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? It's called To Sail Beyond the Sunset.
Yes.
It's about Lazarus Long's mother, you know.
It's her autobiography. It's one of his last book. Yeah, it's a bit...
Until you get to the end and he's got all his characters coming together in one spot and I'm going, oh, jeez.
Well, yeah, because for me it was the fact that I read that when I was like a teenager too. I didn't know what a Texas Star was until I read Heinlein. Like I didn't know what that was.
Oh, okay.
that came from Star of David. And if anyone doesn't know what that is, just look it up. Let's look it up from a sexual point of view. You'll be like,
oh dear,
yeah. I'll
look it up later.
That's the thing. Like Heinlein's, everything post Stranger in a Strange Land is during the sexual revolution.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, all of it, right? So he is such an interesting study pre post that, right? My favorite book of his all time is probably Moon is a Harsh Mistress. It's neat. I think it's a really cool book. He is such a fascinating, like the pre and post are so different.
Well, I like his juveniles too. So
everybody loves juveniles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
His juveniles are fantastic. Right. They are what I'm going for as I don't want to necessarily write like Heinlein, but I love the fact that they told such concisely good stories so quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and they're all really, really good. My favorite short story from him is called The Roads Must Roll. I think that's a really good one. But my favorite novels, Moon and Harsh Mistress is my favorite. Taking Over the Planet, Taking Over Mars is just Taking Over the Moon, I should say. And the odds of it, like he goes, Moon Man will only do this if they're over 10 to 1, I won't do it. But if they're under 10 to 1, I'll give it a shot. And the AI goes to him, I got bad news for you. The odds are 8 to 1 right now when you start. And it's like, well, shit, I guess I'm trying to take over the moon. It's a wild book. I just think it's a really wild book.
Yeah. I was thinking some of the other things I like to write. I think I had to be older to really appreciate Mark Twain.
Yes.
And I Mark Twain and Heinlein, I think, are about the same in my head with their writing styles.
That's interesting.
I had a story that I was, and I don't know whether this is coming up. I think there's an anthology coming up, and heaven help me, I don't know the name, but I wrote it early. So, but I combined Tom Sawyer and Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
As young men or young. And they might not be in the same time area, but then I was trying to write as Mark Twain, so in his style. So I don't know if I succeeded or not. It hasn't gotten off my hard drive yet.
It's hard when you try to copy other authors' styles.
It is.
Because it is. There's something personal about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's something.
I'm just trying to get close, you know.
Yeah. No, there's a wonderful line between homage and
yeah.
And going, it sounds like you're trying to homage
Mr. Oh, Twain. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite Twain story?
Huh?
Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, your favorite Twain story?
Connecticut Yankee, I think.
Okay.
More okay. so, but I did read the Tom Sawyer and the Huck Finns lately, and there's one Huck Finn, it's like, what were you thinking? I think he kept the Huck Finn going too long because all of a sudden they're going around the world and then all of a sudden they're home. I'm going, wait a minute, what the heck is going on?
Well, it sometimes, like, again, even back then with the publishing industry, when you have a hit, you took it too far. Well, it's also like a weird problem. Like, for example, let's say you have a story, right? And everybody mm-hmm. likes it. And everybody likes a new book of that story. Well, you're doing fan service at that point, right? Like you're serving. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But there also comes a point where it's just like, okay, I don't know if I can keep making them good anymore, right? Because there just comes a point where you've said everything you're going to say.
Hey, yeah.
Right? But they're throwing piles of money at you to keep writing them. And then you're like, I guess I'm going to keep writing them. Well, fuck, what do I say now? Like, I think that's what happens with that. That's what happens sometimes. Like, fantasy wise, okay, I just finished I've started reading, I'm going to get the name right because if I screw this up, Kim Harrison, okay? She has the Rachel Morgan series, right? Well, I looked at the Rachel Morgan series. There's like 17 books there of the Rachel Morgan series, right? Okay. So, and the books are really good. I'm not even going to like I've read the first three and they're all really, 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 really good. But I also realized there's probably going to come a point where when I'm reading these, where it's going to be like, well, she said everything she wants to say about them, but they're making her keep going. And I'm not knocking her for it because I understand too. It's just like, hey, if someone really likes your stuff, you're gonna keep going, right?
For some reason, the Xanth books come to mind. I don't know how many. I finally stopped reading those. Here's Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh my gosh, how many Xanth books are there nowadays?
Oh, geez, there's tons. But like once you read like the first five or so, you've read them all, right? Honestly, in terms of what, right? But
yeah.
But here's the thing. The publisher goes, here's money. Keep writing them.
Yeah, right. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right? You're just like, yes. Okay. And then sometimes you'll see the author go to the publisher. I'll write more of these, but for the love of God, can I please write something else? Like, just, I need to, right? And that's what happens, right? Is that, but again, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I mean, a lot of authors would kill for that problem. Hey, I've said everything I can about this character, and I don't know where to go from here. It happens.
Well, I can think of one. I think she just stopped writing the series entirely. So, and she's gone to other series.
Oh, which one?
Lois McMaster Bujold.
Okay, yeah.
The Miles Verkazigan. I think she stopped writing those entirely.
Yeah. I mean,
because that's about all she can do, you know. There's not much more she can say, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it probably is, but.
Well, there comes a point you need a break too, right? Like, you're human.
Yeah.
But, I mean, going back to, like, you know, Huckleberry Finn and all these, like, famous characters that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's a weird balance. Hey, listen, I like my life comfort zone, and they're giving me piles of money to write it, but mm-hmm. I'm running out of shit to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and sometimes you stretch it. Like sometimes you stretch it, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, you're getting paid to do it, and sometimes you just realize I can't do it anymore right now, right? Right, but it gets really, 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 really hard, right? And I'm not I don't knock anybody for that. Like, you have to, like, look at the Dresden Files from Jim Butcher. I'm sure there are points in that. Like, he's written tons of those. Now, I don't think he's ungrateful for it, but I'm sure, but I think there's probably points in the series where if he was honest, he'd be like, I didn't know where I was going from here. I didn't know, like, I just didn't, because they gave me money to do this, but I was like, I don't know where else to go, right? And you won't let me kill them. you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I mean, that's a problem. But it's a weird thing. But here's the other thing too, right? Some artists will use that, like, notoriety with that one thing to help, you know, do other things they love to do, right? That's not a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm doing what I want to do right now. If anybody wants to read it, that's great. If they don't want to read it, I've had fun writing it.
Absolutely. So you're gonna become an indie. So your goal is to, how many books have you written so far?
See, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I got partway through another one and just basically haven't started again. Then 5 that's coming up that I'm trying to publish later.
Congrats. Congrats on 5.
You know, not everybody's done that. They're not long books, but they're books. They're not like 500 pages.
I figured out something about you, Miss Lawrence. You're a fairly humble person.
I try to be.
I'm gonna give you your flowers right now. And that is, you know, you've done. Sounds like it's like you're very happy with what you've accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to be proud of it, and you should.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with my life. I've done things that I never thought I'd do in my life.
I want to hear one. You know, then before we wrap up, give me one. Give me one that you never thought you'd do.
Well, this was actually through a friend of mine. I met with an actor in this house. Name is Jonathan Frid. He was Barnabas Collins in Dark Shadows.
Okay.
He was an interesting gentleman. He was so nice to talk to. But he played a vampire on the series. You know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. It sounds like you've let your imagination take you to places, and like in real life, like we mentioned earlier in the chat, sometimes maybe you didn't hit the timing the way you wanted to, maybe with a traditional publisher, but it sounds like you've hit timing in other things that were really, really cool.
But let me show you this cover. And this is the reason I got to meet Mr. Fred, because it was this artist, if I can.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Put it up. Yeah.
All right. That's awesome.
Yeah, she did. And she did wonderful work. She did some karmic artwork for him. So that's how I managed to meet him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool cover, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I didn't make the cover, but
it was my idea.
Well,
listen, I get it. Like, I totally do. So, Miss Lorraine, I think we have an interview here. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story about the book coming up? Just real quick.
I was about to get there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, go for it. Tell the story.
No, the story is, the original story was actually in a book conceived at Shore Leave by a bunch of gentlemen. It was edited by Peter and Kathleen David. And it was called They Keep Killing Glenn. Glenn is a friend of theirs. I know the gentleman, name is Glenn Howman, but so all these authors wrote different ways to kill Glenn. So I wrote this story and submitted it, and they liked it. And actually, Peter said he'd like to, wouldn't mind seeing more of these stories, although, you know, I'm not sending them to him, but thought, oh, that's, you know, that's pretty cool. He's a guy I respect. He's done a bunch of work. He knows a lot of people, and it's cool that he likes my characters. So this book is based on all those characters. But not Glenn.
But not Glenn, because you killed Glenn.
Yeah, not Glenn. I did ask Glenn's permission to use his name in the book.
So. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's totally fair. So what's the book called?
Counting on Murder.
Counting on Murder.
The main character is an accountant. So, yeah. And he's very grumpy about it because all these ghosts keep bothering him. His assistant could actually see ghosts, but all these ghosts keep bothering him, and he has to go away from his work to help solve these things, or else they won't get any peace.
Oh, this is fun. Like, okay, so this kind of reminds me a little bit, of something like a Murder, She Wrote, kind of.
Yeah, not quite. Yeah, not yeah. Quite. And I'm doing various stories. Yeah, so
that's fun. That's a lot of
fun. So I modified the Glenn story, and I modified a bunch of stories I had already put on my website, so they'd all fit together. And that's what I was hoping the beta reader would do.
So my question, Miss Lorraine, then is this. Is the book coming out? Or is the book out?
Eventually coming out.
Do you know when?
I have a cover. I have people that are looking at it. And basically, then I have to have time to sit down, format it, and put it on Amazon.
Okay, so it's going to be out soon then.
Yeah, within the next 3 to 5 months, I think.
Okay, so
because I'm like I say, I work for an accountant, so it's tax time down here.
No, I totally get it. So then I'm going to ask this then. When was your last book that came out?
The last one was the 2x4 by Murder. I was going to look at the date. That's the title. That's actually my foot, by the way.
Okay.
2021.
Awesome. All right, 2x4 by Murder. Okay, with a real foot on the cover.
Yeah, that is apart from all this. That is actually my office floor. What happened is, I work in a lumberyard, which is by a river, and the river occasionally floods. So when they pulled up the carpet, there was this wonderful floor with this wonderful patina on it. And I said, I gotta take pictures of this before they cover it up again.
Nice.
So I was going through my pictures, you know, I'm trying to be cheap with covers, and I thought, oh, that would work. You know, I'll just put some blood spatter on it.
No, that's fair. That is fair. And you add some blood spatter. So if I do, by the way, I really did enjoy this chat, but the next time you come on the show, I get the feeling that we're going to have a talk about murder a lot, because I noticed, like, I'm looking at your website right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got definitely a fascination with it. At the very least, and we'll talk about that at some.
Jesse Wolford.
Yeah. For next time. But I also just put, so for anyone that wants to find you, how could they do so?
Most of my stuff is on www.lorrainejanderson.com. It's right on the bottom of my picture. Mm-hmm. I think I have links to my Facebook, Twitter, which I'm very rarely on. I'm on Blue Sky too, but I keep forgetting to look at that too.
No, it's fair.
Mostly on Facebook. I got some stuff on YouTube, and I got some stuff on fanfiction.net.
Okay. Very cool. I got your website up on the site here so people can watch it and listen to it. Miss Lorraine, I enjoyed this chat, and I'm glad you came on to put up with me for the hour or so you did. So So thank you very much. And for everybody watching, everybody listening, this is Lauren J. Anderson. Go check out her books. The website is on Twitch here. If you're listening to this, it'll be in the episode description below. I want to thank Lorraine for coming on. And next week, we got some really fun guests next week, some comic book people, some more authors from the anthology individually. Susan Schwartz is coming back and in full regalia.
I'm looking forward to that.
It'll be up. So I'm sure I'll have a hoot with her. So for everybody watching, everybody listening, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Stay inspired. Keep shining in the dark. And I'll see you guys next week. Want to learn how to put together a podcast? Well, you're in luck. As someone who has done over 1,000 episodes of the podcast, have won awards, and have also done shows for companies and clients, I am more than happy to teach you how it is to create a podcast. In my course, you will learn the following skills: how to put together a show, what does that actually entail, whether it's audio or video, how to interview guests, why you would actually get guests, if that is whether you do them or not regularly on the show, whether or not how to market your show, whether you're trying to make money, or even how to do some extra fun things that you never would imagine doing in a podcast. This is my course. This is how it's done. And I'm here to show you. So there, for the month of December, you will get 25% off if you register for the course. It launches for December, the week of Christmas. So definitely click on the link in the description below if you want to register.
Josh. Shush!